In Jesus' name, amen.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. So far away, but I'm home now. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And now my life song sings. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was blind, but now I see. And I don't know how, but when he touched me, I once was blind, but now I see. And now my life song sings. And now my life song sings. And now my life song sings. I once was dead, but now I live. I once was dead, but now I live. Now my life to you I give. Now my life to you I give. Now my life to you I give. Hallelujah. 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 And now my life song sings. Sing hallelujah with me. Hallelujah. 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 And now my life song sings. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Erica, Jen, Wally. Appreciate you guys a whole lot. Welcome to Word of Grace. My name is Pastor Mike. I'm a believer in Christ. I struggle with some anger, with some depression, with some gambling. And one thing that I know a lot about is hope. Because if you don't have hope, why would you even begin to even wake up or want to attempt to do anything again? I mean, I've experienced so many things in life that I would wish that others would never have to go through. But, you know, each time that I experienced a pile load of crap and a bunch of junk in my life, and I found somehow a way to get back up again on my feet, not let another problem or another circumstance or another wrong choice by me knock me down and keep me down, that's when I begin to live again, and that's when I begin to have hope. And when I have hope, I realize that things can change, that it does not have to be the way it's always been, and that something as good is going to happen to me. And you need to begin to believe that. If you don't believe that, if you don't know that God loves you, that's your starting line. But you need that hope activates your faith. And when your faith is active, it means all things are possible. And you know, it's like some of the stuff that has gone on in my life, why? I've hollered at God and I've said, why? What is wrong with you? If you are in control, why did this have to happen to me? Why did I have to deal with this? You know, we're human. We have weaknesses. We have shortcomings. We have some unanswered questions. In just a moment, I just want to share a few announcements with you, and then we'll get on to a message tonight that's really not a great topic for a message, but it's very much needed. First of all, I want you to know, for those of you that we knew about the Home Run movie, it was the number 2 movie in the box office, and so it'll be held over another week or two here. It's an excellent movie if you have not seen it. For those of you that don't know, you know, I did a lot of baseball. I've been blessed to have been a good athlete in my younger years, and I've coached semi-pro ball, college ball, high school ball, legion ball, and just had an awesome experience in baseball. Not only a movie of hope, but a movie with a little bit of baseball, so that just kind of flips my trigger. So if you haven't seen that movie, get out to the theater. Kelly Condren, a lady from Chicago, is going to be here next week with special music and testimony. There's little cards back by the offering bucket. Your little blue cards inside your bulletin. Fill those out if you have any prayer requests that you would like to pray for me to pray over. Drop them in that bucket. By the offering bucket on the table. If you have any offering, you're welcome to drop it in there, but I never pass the bucket for offering. I just leave you feel led. If you choose to contribute, great. If you're able to, thank you for doing it. But there's little cards here that just has directions for the church, Celebrate Recovery. Hand them out to some friends this week. You know, Kelly has a story. We all have stories. And she's toured around the country, you know, doing her music and sharing her story. And we'll have the privilege and the opportunity to hear her live next week, both with music and her story. So pass it around. Invite some friends. Bring some friends with you. And then, as you've heard, I just want to even say one more prayer for our young lady who has chosen to take off from home. And I don't know if any of you have ever done that. I've done that a time or two in my life at one point. So if you would, just kind of bow your heads, and I want to pray for her wherever she is, for her safety and for her return home. Father, we just thank you. We come in the name of Jesus. We believe that all things are possible, and whatever has caused her or whatever has pushed her to take this action, and even if she's, you know, gone to Chicago or Milwaukee or up north or wherever she may be right now, the first thing I ask is that you give her protection, that somehow or another that you're able to watch over her. Assign some angels or some bodyguards or somebody that she can talk to for help. Lord, keep her safe. And then from there, bring her back to her senses and have her at least contact mom or make some contact and let people know that she's okay and that she's planning to come home. Help that to happen sooner than later in Jesus' precious name. Amen. That was difficult stuff. So as you, in the next few days before this unfolds, The first time I ever ran away from home was probably like 10 or 12. You know, I'd get on my bike and my fishing pole. I figured I could go travel the country on the bicycle and just eat from fish that I catch out of the river. Big success plan, right? You know, I didn't even get I don't think 10 miles from home before, you know. But we've all done boneheaded things, huh? Some of the boneheaded things you would say, okay, so you get to be a pastor after you've done this stuff? You know, the difference is whatever you or I have done gets forgiven when you ask for it to be forgiven. Not always by people. There's some people that I've ticked off. There's some people that I've done some things to that I was not real happy. They're not real happy what I've done to them. And they may or may not have forgiven me, but guess what? God can forgive me. And that is a huge difference, and that's a difference that you need to begin to understand, is that that's where he begins to give you hope. Hope that you can change, regardless of if others forgive you or not. That's not your problem. You cannot live life with regrets. And so many times people have hurt us. There's other people that have hurt you. There's people that have hurt me. And then what do we do with life because of our pain and our hurt? You know what hurting people do? They hurt somebody else. Hurting people turn around and hurt the next person. And it's just how things begin to continue to work. Tonight we're going to talk about sponsor, which if you've been to ever talked to any 12-step program, sponsor is very necessary. It's very necessary that you have somebody that you can talk to, somebody that you can count on, because here's what I know about recovery. Recovery oftentimes comes with relapse. Anytime you're making some progress in life, guess what? Sometimes you do another dumb thing, you make another poor choice, and there's mess that you're dealing with again. Now, who do you talk to? Or even when you're, even before you make the choice of making the wrong choice, who do you talk to ask for some strength so that you don't make the wrong choice? You need to have some deep relationships. You need to have some people on your team to help you. You know, the choice is you can still hit the bars tomorrow. You can still hit the party tomorrow. But if you make the call and you begin to talk to the right people, and if you even ask God for strength to overcome the temptations, the odds are you begin to make more right choices than wrong. You see, what happens is failure is only when you continue to stay stuck and continue to make the wrong choices time after time after time. Making one wrong choice, no, I'm not giving you a license to say, oh, it's Friday. Pastor said we can just screw up tonight. Okay? Don't hear me say that. But what I'm saying is a mess up only is a lifetime problem is when you stay stuck in that chair. Now, when you get your rear end back up out of it and say, okay, I've messed up again, it's time for me to learn how to make better decisions. The next time I have to struggle with this decision is when I have to talk to somebody else. I have to talk to God. I have to focus on overcoming this temptation so that I can take the next step in life, becoming the man or woman that He's created me to be. And sometimes you need that. Sometimes you just need, people need people. People need people. Not only do we need God, but we need to know that other people love us. And, you know, sometimes some of us haven't had a great family life. Sometimes some of us haven't had great adult relationships. And we don't get to hear that somebody say, I love you. And that's hurtful. It does hurt. But that's where, you know, is there anyone here that has never had a friend? I want to meet that person. You see, we've all at one time or another either had a family member, sometimes even a friend that we cared more about a friend than we did our family members. And in the process of recovery, what that simply means to find a sponsor, an accountability partner, is to find another friend, somebody that you trust, somebody that you kind of admire, and that you can just say, hey, would you help me stay strong when I'm weak? That's the nutshell of the process here, of finding somebody that, you know, and I'm going to explain to you what is a sponsor, what is an accountability partner, but finding somebody that you can call. Somebody that you can rely upon. A lot of you have my cell phone numbers, and I get a call from a lot of you. But I'm only one person, and I'm not always available all the time. And that's why you need to find and be dependent upon some of your friends, some people that you trust. And it's just a real biblical plan to be able to work. So sponsor is this principle 4, openly examine, confess my faults and myself to God, to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Step 4, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And it goes on to say, let us examine our ways and test them and let us turn to the Lord. That's Lamentations 3:40. And last week, Mark did an outstanding job with moral, and I appreciate the opportunity for him to be able to do things so that I could be in court. You know, it is what it is. But, you know, sometimes we all have to deal with some things we don't want to deal with. But you know what? I never ask you to do something that I would not do myself. Never. And, you know, in the process of doing a moral inventory or just even evaluating, I evaluate my life all the time. I have to evaluate my investments. I have to evaluate my finances. I have to evaluate my plans. But I also have to evaluate what's going on in my head. what's going on in my heart. If I don't do those things, it doesn't matter what my investments are doing because my life is going to be out of control. Pretty soon, I'm just going to drain the accounts like I used to do. Pretty soon, I'm going to just continue to make more wrong choices. You see, so I have to do, I will do, and here are some questions. Here's some things that I use when I do a moral inventory. What do I feel guilty about? What do I resent? What are my fears? Those are the negatives. The positives, what am I happy about? What am I blessed with? What are my successes? And I'll just share a few of them because I go through and periodically do that in my life. I want to know that I stay in balance because I'm not perfect. Far from it. And there's plenty of people that would know it. But anyhow, fears. You know what my number one fear of is? Failure. Because I've seen too many things go wrong in my life. I've been on the short side of the stick far too many times. Even though I've had an awful lot of success in different businesses and in different ventures of life, fear of failure still sits there in my mind, in my heart now and then. Huh? Sorry, but, you know, I'm human. I have a struggle occasionally. And letting others down is my next fear. Fear that I simply couldn't or wouldn't be there for somebody when they really needed me. That's a fear of mine. Now, I could go on and, you know, give you some other successes. A real success is simply that I've been set free from some of the issues from the past. I'm very thankful for that. A lot of my personality of who I once was, where I was driven to be competitive, where I was driven to succeed at all costs, and to be able to say, okay, I can now do business on God's terms rather than on Mike's terms. It's not business first, it's people first. And my mantra of how God will lead me in success in life has changed. Where before it used to be business first. And I'd run appointments from 8 in the morning until 8 at night. And, you know, until there was a couple $1,000s in the pocket, Mike didn't quit. It was the way I was driven. And now I get the privilege of doing what I'm doing, and I get, I'm not even going to go there with on the financial end. That is it's irrelevant. But the difference is I get so many more blessings, so much more joy working with people, loving people, helping people succeed. That, ladies and gentlemen, there's no price tag for it. Being able to help somebody who is in a miserable, wretched situation. Being able to love somebody who is in jail. Being able to help talk to somebody whose relationship is breaking up. Being able to talk to somebody who is dying and give them hope. What kind of price tag would somebody have to pay me or anybody that does that? It's priceless information. It's priceless words that God gives me. And do you know what? He gives me blessings in a different way than always money. And I'm so thankful for those things. Those are successes. You know, overcoming my physical handicaps. I'm really thankful for that. Most of you don't know that I'm blind in my left eye, that I've got a plate in my head and, you know, to fake half of my legs or whatever, or that I walked around like a bumbling idiot for a long while. Stuttered so bad that I didn't know if I'd ever be able to sell anything or teach a lesson again. When you experience those things in life, you know that there is hope and that God is real. And that, you know, a success in life is shooting a record deer, of which I've gotten to shoot one record deer, and those are only one, but it was better than none, and I had none for an awful lot of years, other than just average ones. But, you know, it's just little things like that. Those little blessings. But do you know what? The men and women that I get to meet here, even with all of their issues, even with all of their pain, with all of their hurt, are some of the best people I've ever had the privilege of meeting. And I'm thankful for getting to know some of you, having a chance to getting to know many of you. It's simply this. We've all got a story. Good, bad, and ugly, and tough. Tough. I don't care how bad your story is, how ugly your story is. God loves you, and I want you to know that He cares and that I care. If nobody else cares, there's somebody that cares about you. And because of that, I want you to realize that there's hope. Regardless of where you've been, where you've gone, and that you need to find another sponsor. You need to find an accountability partner. I want to talk to you about that because it's so important. As we talked about, you know why you need to do a moral inventory or why I do it? Because periodically I got to clean my side of the street up. I got to take the trash. I got to go back and find out what is wrong in my head, what is wrong in my heart. And I got to ask God to help me clean my life up again. That's why I do these different inventories. And after Kelly's here, we'll be working on a few inventories. It's not the easy part of recovery. And in fact, I hear that most people don't like those little inventory teachings. And such it is what it is. But it's a necessary part. Here's what I know about what we do here. There is not one time, if you honestly apply the principles that get taught and work each step, that the program will not work. It's only when you just pay attention to it and don't go and do the work that you just kind of slide through and you'll either get stuck at one point or another. But if you honestly, just like that scripture said, Lamentations 3:40, openly and honestly let God examine your heart. It's something I have to do periodically. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why? Does He cause me to make the decisions that I make? Or why would you make the decisions that you make? There's areas of our life that we need to be accountable for that needs to change. So why do I need a sponsor? There's three reasons why we need a sponsor. First of all, having a sponsor, accountability partner is biblical. When Jesus sent out the disciples, it was two by two. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better off than one, because together they will work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone, there is no one to help him. Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man alone. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that iron sharpens iron, as one man sharpens another. In other words, we can learn from each other. That's why we need, you know, okay, so how did you overcome your issues? Well, I didn't know that that happened in your life. I'm sorry that you've had to experience that, but maybe some of us had to deal with abuse as children. Maybe some of us had to deal with a lot of it, maybe even abuse as adults. And as you begin to connect with and hear some other stories in your groups tonight or at fellowship time, that's the time to be able to say, hey, I hear your story. You know, something like that happened to me. Could we just, you know, maybe exchange numbers or emails or just get to know another person? Somebody that's able to give you some encouragement. Somebody that's there to be with you, to offer you hope when you're hurting, when you're down. The second reason is having a sponsor, accountability partner is key part of your recovery. And there's four parts of celebrate recovery that we'd oftentimes don't focus on. And the first is maintaining an honest, working reality or viewpoint of what we're trying to accomplish. Many times we don't change because we're not open to saying, I've got a problem. We stay stuck. Yeah, I can change, or I'll just a little ways down the line. It's okay. It's getting better. I can deal with it. But we just don't be open and say, yes, I struggle with this. Yes, I have a problem with that. And until you verbalize it, until you get it out in the open, it's like it's in the closet. It's like it doesn't exist. It's like we try and hide it. And therefore, until you have an open and honest viewpoint about issues that you may have, They're going to continue to be your issues until you're open and honest and bring them out. And so the first key is simply maintaining reality. The second key is making your attendance at recovery important. Now, the summer's coming and vacations do happen. And we've got, if you have access to the internet, online celebraterecovery.com. And if you're listening to a lot of the messages that Mark or I may do on our church, website of WOGCC.com, which there's about 2,000 people sometimes a month that listen there. You need to begin transferring over to online celebraterecovery.com. And Mark is getting those messages out on both sites each week. And eventually it'll be transferred mostly just to over to online celebraterecovery.com. And we will be going to even some Facebook small groups sometime this summer where there will be questions posted and that you can have some dialogue with different either ladies or men at different times during the course of the week. And so we just want to be able to even offer other things if you're not able to make it, or some ways of being able to support you, even during, you know, Monday or Tuesday. Okay? And so there's different things that we're working on that will be available. But one of the things that you need to do is you need to connect with, if you're a lady, another lady. If you're a guy, another guy. And I'll give you those guidelines in just a little bit. But the third element of maintaining a really good key part of our program is keeping your relationship with Christ up to date. That's why you need to understand these inventories. These inventories help you know where you've made wrong choices. Instead of just letting them go by and just saying, hey, I know I sinned. I know I did wrong. But, you know, when you do nothing with it, still go to bed. You still sleep at night. Get up the next day. Still can eat your breakfast. But you did nothing with it. What happens? Probably nothing. Other than what what's going to happen? Is your heart gets a little harder. It's a little easier to get angry again. It's a little easier to do wrong the next time. And you miss a blessing in between there. And then we wonder why we're not blessed or why things aren't going the way it ought to be going. Because we're not doing our little inventories. We're not keeping our walk or our relationship or our faith active and up to date. So, and the fourth thing is, a lot of people ask me, well, how do I know when I'm finally done with recovery? Well, do you know, depending upon your issue is you may never be done. That's the bad news. The good news is when you are making a lot of progress, you get to the point of where you want to begin to give back, where you want to be a sponsor, where you want to help others, where you want to volunteer, whether it's in the AV or if you can sing, be part of the worship or help with bulletins or do security or run the cafe or make some snacks or different things. You find ways to give back and help others. That's when progress is beginning to take place in the heart and in the life. Okay? And so the third reason why we need to have a sponsor accountability partner is to guard against relapse. Remember I said relapse is coming? It's part of recovery. There is nobody that's perfect, and there's nobody that's going to beat a drug, alcohol, anger, gambling issue, whatever our addictions or our behavior issues are, without experiencing relapse. There's not a one of us that are perfect. And so, therefore, relapse and issues are about to occur. So if they're going to occur, that means you better be wise and even plan for it. Not because you're planning to go do it, but you're planning how to defeat it when it does happen in your life. And that's the purpose of having an accountability partner or a sponsor, somebody to talk to. And not only to talk to when you're tempted, but to talk to even after you do mess up. Because it'll help you stay accountable even the more the next time. It's a process. So what are the qualities of a sponsor? First of all, does his or her walk match their talk? In other words, are they going to do what they say they're going to do? Because if they're not, why would you want to listen to advice from him or her? Second, does he or she have a growing relationship with Christ? This is a 12-step Christ-centered program, and so it's important for them to understand that if their relationship in Christ is growing, that means they're not constantly messing up. They're letting the goodness of God begin to change them. And number three, does he or she have the desire to help others on the road to recovery? Number four, does he or she have compassion, care, and hope? But guess what? Do they offer compassion and care, but not pity? You see, even when I was in my worst part of who I was, I might have wanted somebody to offer some hope, but I sure didn't need anybody's pity, because then I felt even worse. Right? And so pity we don't need to offer. We need to offer hope and love and compassion. And is he or she a good listener? Number five. In other words, do they honestly care what you have to say? Or are they just only interested in telling you what they need to tell you? What they want you to hear? Number six. Is he or she strong enough to confront your denial or your procrastination? In other words, if they recognize that you are stuck with an issue, can they say, hey, Mike, what's going on? How come you keep doing this? If they're not strong enough to confront you, well, that's maybe not the right person to be your sponsor. And then will he or she, number seven, offer suggestions? Remember, we're not here to fix people. We're here to love people. God does the fixing. But we sometimes need to be able to offer some suggestions when you're a sponsor, an accountability partner. If somebody asks you, what should I do? Perhaps be able to give a simple suggestion or two. Okay, number eight. Can he or she share their current struggles? Have they been willing to talk about what was wrong with them? If they're not willing, haven't been open enough to talk about what was wrong with them, what makes you think that they're going to be able to help you with your issues? Huh? You see, it's the process. So what is the role of the sponsor? Let me give you six things quickly as the role of the sponsor. Number one, they're there to discuss in details things that are too personal or there's not time to take place in our small groups on Thursday night. And so that's where you could have a conversation either out at the fellowship time or a conversation a different time on phone or Facebook or email or just a time of cup of coffee and bless you. You know, it's something where you can just have a more one-on-one interaction with them. And you can go into situations a little deeper than what would be good to take place in our little small groups. Number two. Are they available in times of crisis or potential relapse? Now understand, sponsors or some may still be in the process of working out some issues in their own recovery, and so they have a life. Perhaps they have, you know, things going on or a job, and they're not always available 24/7. That's why we encourage you to build not only a sponsor but an accountability team. And I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. Number three, sponsors. Will they be a sounding board by providing an objective viewpoint? In other words, are they really willing to listen? Are they really willing to hear what your issue is? And not just condemn you, not just say, oh boy, that again? When are you going to learn, Mike? You know, I heard enough of that from my dad when I was a kid. I don't need to hear that from somebody while I'm an adult. You know, treat me like an adult. That's what they want. You need to, if you're asked to be a sponsor, count it a privilege. But here's another thing. I encourage you to let your individuals work the principles at their own speed. You can't push them. They have to apply things on their own. And number five, four was where you can't push them, where you need to let them work on their own speed. Number five, model the lifestyle that will show them that it's working for you. And six, a sponsor can resign or be fired at any time. What that simply means is sometimes life changes for both parties. Sometimes you've tried to reach your sponsor and he or she's not available. You need to find a new one. Sometimes perhaps you have agreed to be somebody's sponsor and they're not being accountable to you, or they're not asking you when you try and contact them. Tell them they need to find a new sponsor. That's the way it works. There are sponsor sheets back by the bucket there. You certainly can pick one up. I would encourage everyone, if you don't have a sponsor, take one. So now what's the difference between a sponsor and accountability partner? You see, building a team, an accountability partner, somebody that's at the same level as you, somebody that's just working the steps of recovery. A sponsor is somebody who has gone through the process of the steps of recovery. And so in a sense, they're like the coach. And accountability partners might be two or three other people that are at your same level or that are working the steps, and that those are your teammates. And together, it's not that we succeed on our own. Remember, we need to have at least one accountability partner and one sponsor, and that gives us a team. And now we have a help. Now we're not alone. Now we are in this together with somebody else. And they have the privilege of being investing in our lives. As you invest in somebody else's life, it's a privilege to be able to pray for other people, to love other people, to give them hope. Because if we don't have hope, if we don't have love, well, we've got a lot worse than just our individual problems. So if you would bow your heads. I'm going to encourage you, if you do not have sponsors or accountability partners, you need to build your teams. It's draft night. It's a perfect night. If you know anything about the NFL, tonight is draft night. And so there's teams that are going to be building their teams. Now you need to build your team to plan for success. You see, every team that's a football team, they will be building teams to plan for success. You need to find another man or another woman, if you're a woman, to have somebody that you can count on, somebody to strengthen you. As Proverbs 27:17 said, as iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another. That means we need each other. And so let me ask a blessing over you. Father, I just pray for these men, for these ladies, for the hope that they might have that lives can be changed, that they can find jobs if they need them. Lord, that they can be set free from some addictions, that they can overcome obstacles, handicaps in our mind and in our heart, pain that we've suffered, pain that we're going through right now, things that we will face in the future, that we're not afraid to come up to some problems again, because with your help, we can just go through that roadblock. It's just a little detour, but it's not a knock my life into the ditch again. Give us that inner strength, that inner peace, that we just know that all things are possible, that with your help that we can change, that we can persevere, that we can overcome. Help them to find another woman if they're a woman, another man if they're a man, that they can count on somebody else to just be there for them, to love them, to help them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. In Jesus' precious name, amen.